Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I hope you have a good weekend in store. We're going to do our best to help you with what you can watch at home. Bill and Ted Face the Music, the sci-fi comedy starring Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They're reteamed and back in the third installment of those films. We also have some documentaries showing real promise. One of them, Rising Phoenix, is on Netflix. It's about the Paralympic Games. Robin's Wish, about the final days of Robin Williams as he battled what's known as Lewy body dementia, a rare neurodegenerative disorder. And A Most Beautiful Thing, about the first African-American high school rowing team in the country, the young men from the west side of Chicago. A Most Beautiful Thing, another streaming documentary. We'll hear what our critics think coming right up. But I want to hear what you thought maybe isn't the right term, but your analysis of the Republican National Convention, particularly President Trump's closing night speech as he formally accepted his party's nomination. The speech was over 70 minutes in length, conducted well out of traditional step for a convention on the South Lawn of the White House. The president touched on many topics, including protests on the streets of America, and he depicted a violent country in America's largest cities under Democratic Party control. And here, early in his speech, he took aim specifically at Joe Biden and the progressive movement.
The left's backward view. They do not see America as the most free, just, and exceptional nation on earth. Instead, they see a wicked nation that must be punished for its sins. Our opponents say that redemption for you can only come from giving power to them. This is a tired anthem spoken by every repressive movement throughout history. But in this country, we don't look to career politicians for salvation. In America, we don't turn to government to restore our souls. We put our faith in Almighty God.
Accepting his party's nomination last night, with us is NPR News senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thank you very much for being with us. You know, both of these conventions, Democrats last week, Republicans this week, painted very, very dire circumstances if the election goes against them. And President Trump really pulled out all the stops last night with his depiction of what a Joe Biden presidency would bring.
Yes, it's interesting that there is dystopia in the analysis for both parties of what would happen if the other party's candidate won in November. Now, to some degree, this is typical, but on the other hand, it is extreme. It is not just what we've seen in the past. It is an extreme version of what we have seen in the past in terms of the two parties' visions being so directly opposed and in such apocalyptic terms. Now, the message of the Republican convention this week was that if you go to the ballot, go to the voting places in November, you're going to see America on the ballot, and that if you don't vote the right way, you're going to lose America. The Democrats the week before were almost as apocalyptic in saying that democracy was on the ballot, that if you didn't vote for Joe Biden, you were going to be consigning the United States to a loss of its 230-some-year-old democracy. Well, those are two pretty dire threats, as you say, and we shall see to whether or not you can maintain this kind of intensity throughout a fall campaign of 9 weeks and some. My guess is they're going to try, and the country is going to have to decide which way they think they can secure their future best.
Well, and just hearing the rhetoric, it's hard to believe, particularly with the wider availability of vote by mail, that we're not going to have a remarkable turnout in November. Of course, the other side could be that the apocalyptic rhetoric turns people off. And I'm sure there are many people trying to assess that right now, what that enthusiasm level for voting is, Ron.
Yes, indeed. And of course, we know that actually voting in person in a lot of parts of the country is a little bit dicey for people of greater age, people of lesser health, people who have any reason to think that they might be at special danger of the virus. The virus isn't going away between now and November. It's going to probably kill something like another 120,000, 150,000 people, maybe even more. And we don't know when we're going to get a vaccine. So at this point, when we're closing schools and businesses, it's scarcely voting as usual, and many people are going to need some sort of special accommodation. That's why voting by mail is so much on everyone's agenda, why everyone's talking about it, why the president is so upset about it, because he doesn't really want a huge turnout election. And he's been very clear about this. He said right after he was elected in 2016 and talking to a group of people that he appreciated the fact that turnout was down in the cities and that Black Americans in particular had not turned out in the numbers they did for Obama. He was right about that. That made a huge difference to his election, probably helped him carry Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So he is not particularly concerned with a lower turnout. He thinks it helped him in 2016, and he's quite fine with it again in 2020.
Yeah, I think, though, again, the jury's still out on vote by mail and its effect. Sort of the ratio of that within turnout. I understand just pure numbers of turnout, the more people that vote, how that favors Democrats. But, of course, vote by mail could get more of the president's rural supporters and other people actually to vote. So we'll continue with Ron Elving of NPR, where he's senior editor and correspondent. You, of course, hear him regularly as he analyzes politics and what's going on. The imagery of the president on the South Lawn of the White House, disturbing to many people who saw that as a real break with how historically politics during a convention and sitting president being in the White House or outside the White House, putting those two together, very unsettling for many Americans. We'll continue on Air Talk in just 1 minute. We're at 866-893-KPCC. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. We're talking about the Republican National Convention, which wrapped up last night with President Trump's acceptance speech on the South Lawn of the White House. The president touting his economy pre-COVID-19, also touted what he said were his administration's unprecedented efforts to deal with the virus. He talked about the testing in the United States and case rate in the United States versus other countries. And of course, fact-checking, finding that these were overstatements in many cases. But the real theme, I thought, overshadowing everything else were what Ron Elving of NPR and I were just talking about with this competing vision of what's going on in America right now. Here, the president talking about Joe Biden, who is, you know, seen generally himself as a moderate, but the threat in the president's eyes of what a Biden presidency would mean.
Biden is a Trojan horse for socialism. If Joe Biden doesn't have the strength to stand up to wild-eyed Marxists like Bernie Sanders and his fellow radicals, and there are many, we see them all the time, it's incredible, actually, then how is he ever going to stand up for you? He's not. The most dangerous aspect of the Biden platform is the attack on public safety. The Biden-Bernie manifesto calls for abolishing cash bail, immediately releasing 400,000 criminals onto the streets and into your neighborhoods.
Depiction there, talking about some of the criminal justice reforms that have been part of the Democratic convention the week before. And Ron, this just is such a completely opposite view of the country. But my sense is that the themes that the president hit last night, the concerns that many Americans have about the chaos that they have seen surrounding protests in many American cities, I would expect him to get a bump out of this.
No question. There's always been an audience for that message. We heard it from Pat Buchanan in 1992 after the riots in Los Angeles that followed the Rodney King beating and the failure to convict the officers who beat him on videotape. Those disturbances in 1992 led to a speech at the Republican convention that year, not by the nominee, but by one of his rivals for the nomination, a man named Pat Buchanan, who later ran for president on a platform of America First, by the way. But Pat Buchanan said, we've got to take our country back block by block. And he conjured up many of the exact same images. We also heard it from Richard Nixon back in the 1960s and 1970s, and occasionally from other Republicans in the intervening years. When there is a crisis over race relations, the depiction of America that we hear too often from politicians, and in recent decades it's been centered in the Republican Party, is that there is an overwhelming rebellion just brewing beyond the horizon, and these people are going to rise up and beat you to death in the streets behind your burning house. That is practically a verbatim quotation from one Republican county chairman in Florida in the first days after the George Floyd killing and some of the disturbances that followed. What's happened, for example, in Kenosha is that several people have been killed. Two people have been shot dead, one has been shot wounded, by a vigilante white person who came to town with his military-style weapon to do battle with the protesters. And another, it's of course the shooting that began it all, and that shooting was seven bullets in the back with his three young sons in the car. Now, for that to then become an enormous bump for Donald Trump certainly must be seen as a somewhat ironic turn of events. I realize that's often how our politics works, and people are going to have to look at these facts in the eye and ask, what kind of president, what kind of leadership brings us to this point?
I think, though, Ron, that for many Americans, when they see the inability of mayors or governors to be able to respond to, you know, what Americans see, the images on television, I do think that that's going to carry significant weight. Notable that the president last night did not talk about racial reconciliation or specifically about what peaceful protesters had during the course of so many of these protests that have been revived, about what people want to see in the way of the criminal justice system and dealing with racism. Ron Elving, thank you so much for being with us, senior editor and correspondent for NPR News. And of course, you'll be hearing him a lot over the coming weeks leading up to the November election. Have a wonderful afternoon, and coming up, it's Film Week.